children. And don't let them fall by the side of the road. Teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and pray that Jesus is love. He won't let you down.
I've had that song in my gut ever since last night around 7 p.m. Father, our Heavenly Father, creator of all things, I thank you for your divine protection, protecting us, the United States of America, from all hurt, harm, death, and danger. For some reason, I feel something in my gut that's not right. And I'm praying to you, God, for protection from the evil one for us in America, and especially us here in Detroit, where I live. Thank you, Father God, for allowing your son Jesus to complete his assignment by sacrificing his body on the cross, delivering us from a certain death. Thank you for your mercy, allowing us the choice to choose life with you or death with the evil one. Father, for those sheep who are alive, bring them back into the fold, the ones that I lost when I should have been obedient by doing what you had told me to do years ago. Thank you so much for your patience with me, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you have your three P's ready, sheep? I want you to have your three P's ready and handy whenever this program comes on. Your three P's are your pen or pencil and paper and a pad. I want you to also have a cold glass of water near you. It's been awfully hot in Detroit, but it's a beautiful day today. And I'm just so thankful. Also, I want you to have your King James Version of the Bible. The Bible that I have is called the New King James Version. And it will read a little different from your Bible. Hi there. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess, and this is the Feed My Sheep Show. You are welcomed, listeners. I appreciate you because, as you know and I do, too, you could have been doing something else or listening to something else other than spending time with me. I really appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I want to take a few moments to go over the program that I had scheduled for July the 12th, 2011 show, Rituals, Things to Know About Before Joining a Church. I erased that program, the July 12th, 2011 show, because the last 15 to 20 minutes of it did not air, and there was a clicking sound and silence for it. A second or so, leaving out words that I had said during the first few moments of the show. I spoke about Leviticus, and I want you to write this down. It's spelled Leviticus, chapter 18, and I'm going to read tonight verses 22 and 23. In case there my phone cuts off, or there is clicking, you'll know where to go and read, and you will get the point of what I want you to know. It reads, "Thou shalt not lie with a man as a woman. It is an abomination." Abomination means extreme dislike. God does not like that. God does not like for a man to lie with another man as with a woman. The same-sex law goes against God's law. Now, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 23 reads, "Nor shall you mate with any beast to defile." Defile means to pollute, to filthy, get filthy, or dirty yourself with it. "Nor shall any woman stand before a beast to mate with it." It's a perversion. Perversion means a sexual act considered not normal. And that's one of the things that I wanted to say last week. And I hope that everything went the way that I wanted to go, where you can, there's no skipping of words, where it makes my sentence sound other than what is in the Bible. Now I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. That's spelled, Timothy is spelled T-I-M-O-T-H-Y. And I know that most of you know how to spell. You're better spellers and readers than I am. But I've been given a charge by God, I believe, with all my heart and mind. And that's why I'm so thankful for Blog Talk Radio, because they have given me an outlet to do what God had told me to do, and that is to feed his sheep and minister unto the people. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 reads, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." And that sounds like today. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. A fable is a story. A fable is a lie. Some pastors, teachers, preachers, overseers, whoever is the head of the church, some of them will tell you that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, that we have a new law when Jesus came and died on the cross. Well, I agree with that. But that new law was for burnt offerings. This is what Paul says in Hebrews 10:10. That goes against what God says, what Jesus says, as a matter of fact. I said God, but I should have said Jesus. That goes against what Jesus says, found in the book of Matthew. You spell that M-A-T-T-H-E-W, Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 18 reads, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law." Let me start over. "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Or surely, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or little will by no means pass from the law till all this is fulfilled." Jesus did not come to get rid of moral laws that are in the Old Testament. So, I'm putting myself out there. I disagree with any pastor that says that we don't have to go back to the Old Testament. My belief is that when Jesus came, he got rid of the burnt offering laws. And he gave us, when he died on the cross, he gave us a choice to choose between life and death, good and evil. The moral laws Jesus did not get rid of. And this is coming from Sandra Harris, okay? No one else. See, I believe that God is going to hold me accountable when it's my time to stand in the judgment. And I'm telling you what I believe. And that's what I believe. And so that's what God will hold me accountable for. Now, let me remind myself why I do this program. Many years ago, Jesus gave me two dreams. One was that he told me to feed his sheep. And when that dream, I was shown a mountain of what I can throw away babies. But when I think about it, those were aborted babies. Some of the babies were alive, some of them were dead. What I'm going to suggest to you is that you go and listen to my very first program. I told you about the two dreams that I had. And the reason why I do this program, I am trying to be obedient so that I can get into the kingdom of heaven, the one that Jesus talked about. I didn't want, when he told me about that feed my sheep dream, I didn't want Jesus to say to me a third time, like Peter had said, denied Jesus, and on the third time, the cock crowed. I didn't want that to happen. So on the second time, when Jesus told me to feed his sheep, I said, well, all right. And before I knew it, the mountain of babies were gone away. My skin was clean. The dirty clothes I had on were gone. And so, again, listen to my very first program done on Blog Talk Radio, and you will hear about those two dreams. The abortion law goes against God's law, too. Thou shalt not kill. That is the sixth commandment. You will find that in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 3 through 17. Lord, have mercy. Let me do what is in your will. Please let your sheep listen to me and let me say what it is that you would have me to say to them. Let me get back to some of the, the things that I had wanted you to know before you went into a church or joined the church. There's a thing that's called communion. That's the Last Supper, where you're given a little cup, and in that cup there is like a little cracker. It's supposed to be a piece of broken bread and then juice after that. What Jesus said, do this in remembrance of him. And this is why most churches have what is called communion. Okay? The next thing I want you to know about is tithing. Tithing is a form of worship by giving the church an offering. It's usually 10% of your earnings. Let's say you earn $100 a week. You give 10%, $10 of that to the church, and be a cheerful giver. I give when I can. I love being giving tithes. It's just that most time I pay my bills, and when I do that, I give what I can that's left over. But as soon as I have money where I can tithe, I am so happy because I'm doing what I believe God wants me to do. And that is to give to the church. Another thing that I want you sheep to know about, if you've not gone to a church, is a ceremony, baptism. It's a ceremony of washing in the water. To me, it's an initiation where you're saying, well, I believe in God. I got baptized. Another thing is stewardship. The money that God gives you, or the home that he gives you, he gives you a home, mow the lawn, clean up around it. You know, it's like managing, taking care of your responsibilities. You know, you have make a grocery list before you go to the store. You set a time to wash your clothes. You know, when you need to cook, have your dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner ready. That's your responsibility, a stewardship. You know, what I usually do is I'll write down in a notepad the amount of money I had, where I spent, who I gave what to who. That's what I, it's my management, my way of management. And hopefully, you know, you'll pick up from that too. The next thing I want you to know about that goes on in the church is praise. Right before the pastor comes to give the sermon, we praise, we sing songs, and we are thankful to God. We pray, and we're just giving thanks to God for what he's done. Or sometimes you can give thanks to someone else who has done something good. You tell your baby, oh, that's a great job, man. Or, did you make that by yourself? Wow. You know, encourage them. Another thing is worship. And that's our religious devotion directed towards a deity. And, of course, I pray to Jesus Christ and God. And that's who I direct my worship towards. Another thing that goes on in the church, and it's called speaking in tongues. Now, some pastors, shepherds, and overseers, or whoever is in charge of the church, allow it. But I'm going to tell you, do not be afraid when you walk into a church and you see that going on. That is a form of worship. I will tell you, if you're not comfortable with that, you continue going to a church until you find where one that you're comfortable in. Those people are not crazy. They are just worshiping. And I tell you this because the Bible says, forsake not or fail not to assemble yourself. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. So I want you to go to church and praise the Lord. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28, he tells the tongue speakers to keep silent in the church, you know. But then again, he goes on in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. He says, if you're going to talk in the church in tongues, have an interpreter. So don't be afraid to go into the church. Hopefully I have explained to you that speaking in tongues so that you won't be afraid when you first hear it, if you are a newcomer into the church. There may be some things that go on that I forget. Of course, you know, there's Sunday school Bible study. Bible study is usually on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And it's important that you go. I love going to Sunday school so I can learn. That's my thing. I love getting to Sunday school. Okay, so now let me just say this. Once you join church, stuff will start happening to you. It's crazy stuff. For some reason, somebody might tell a story on you. Somebody might lie on you for no reason at all. Or you might get a flat tire when you least expect it. Or your front tooth might break out. Count it all joy. There's a book in the Bible called Job. It's spelled like Job. J-O-B. And the book of Job, it tells about how Job was tested. The devil was allowed to take everything from him. And Jesus gave the devil permission to do that. And that was a test of Job's faith, his belief in God. And when it was enough, the devil had to leave. And God restored and blessed Job. All the things that was taken from him were restored, and he was blessed. Now, I want you to read Psalms. Psalms is spelled P-S-A-L-M, chapter 34, verse 19. It reads, many are the afflictions. Afflictions mean pain and sufferings of the righteous, but he delivers them all. So once you join the church, things will start happening to you. And don't get upset or scared. That's just a test of your faith. Don't turn away from God. It's just something that you're going to go through. And afterwards, you'll be greatly rewarded. All right? So, again, Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of all of them. Amen. Now I want to go with some scriptures with you. The golden rule. As I was taught as a child in church, and I didn't go to Sunday school often, but every now and then I did go, and I learned two verses I want to tell you about tonight. One of them is the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, I have searched the scriptures. I have not found it to read like that, but I did find in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12, it reads, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the prophet, the law of the prophets. Let me read that again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. All right. And the other one, I need to get to, I'll say it right now. It is Proverbs, P-R-O-V-E-R-B-S, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's my favorite scripture. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will, or he shall, direct your path. Let me get to the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, you'll find them in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. Now, of course, I know you know how to spell Matthew, but I'll spell it out for you. M-A-T-T-H-E-W, chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. There are 9 Beatitudes, and then I'm going to also read verse 12 when I finish with these 9. The first one says, bless. Some people say blessed, but it's spelled B-L-E-S-S-E-D, and I call that bless. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Your spirit is your emotional state of mind. Number 2, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Number 3, blessed are the meek. Meek means kind, gentle, patient, for they shall inherit the earth. Number 4, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Number 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Number 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Number 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Number 8, blessed are those who are persecuted. Persecuted means harassed, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Number 9, it says, blessed are you when you, when they revile. Revile means to talk to you abusively or persecute you. And persecute means to harass you with ill treatment. And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, verse 12, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12 reads, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So there is a reward. And now I'm going to have to, oh, the last verse that I want is for you children. Ecclesiastes is spelled E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A-S-T-E-S, chapter 12, verse 1. It reads, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. I say this, God, or your mother and father, because the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, beloved, I'm going to say my prayer, closing prayer, and I'll get to the 23rd Psalm some other time. Father God, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And by all means, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one in Jesus' name. Remember, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. And if it's God's will, I'll talk to you next time. Love one another.
heart.